Which brings me back to rite of passage, which you kind of alluded to a little bit earlier, and was actually a commentary in one of the YouTube video shorts that was put out this week, asking about rites of passage. This was based on your and my conversation feeling like we'd never grew up.
Okay.
Remember that a couple weeks ago?
I do.
Yeah. And asking like how to create rites of passage mm-hmm. intentionally. This is the thing that I wanted to make sure to share out of my thoughts on it is I don't know that I have answers for how to have a rite of passage for sons and daughters specifically mm-hmm. in the current era that we're in, since getting married and having kids doesn't seem to function as these things.
Hmm.
Girls have a very native rite of passage from girlhood mm-hmm. to womanhood that is unavoidable. It's very unavoidable and obvious.
If fed the right food. Usually.
And not put on medicines to make it stop and stuff. What I know boys need
mm-hmm.
is to break the bond with mother. This doesn't mean they stop loving their mother. It means they need to be put in a position where mom can't help.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be done in such a way that they succeed. So in ancient times, tribal cultures, the men would take the boys away for a night, have the boys camp by themselves, leave them, and then come back as scary ghosts and terrify them all night long. They wear masks and stuff. None of the boys would know this was going to happen. So there's just suddenly these masked things out there in the darkness, like freaking you out all night long. And when you're done, you're a man, right? Because, I mean, you're crying for mommy, but she ain't coming. What are you going to do? Right. And so that break
mm-hmm.
is what men need in their rite of passage. I'm not saying terrify your kids in the backyard with masks. But moms actually can empower this by seeing that need. Because
mm-hmm.
Why do the men take the boys away to do this and not just do it in the village? Because the moms would like not let it happen,
mm-hmm.
basically. Right? They'd be like, you can't do that to my son.
But yeah.
So to see that no, your boy needs to stop relying on you. And the more you overbear,
mm-hmm.
the less he will stand. The key is risk.
Yeah.
And this is where it's difficult, because until the man is able to face his own risk, which means actually maybe die.
I see.
Then he isn't able to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
The man has to be able to die.
So what you're saying is it needs to be tailored to the person's fear. Like essentially
correct.
For you, having not really been an outdoorsy person growing up, you going on a camping trip would have been way more, I'm going to die, than going to Europe in a town where
I certainly, you're right. As I look back at that, I mean, if there was a rite of passage for me, it did not serve to convince me I was a man.
On your own.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Certainly not to make me think I was on my own. If mom isn't scared to let him do it, it won't be enough. So the rite of passage for the man has to actually be something mom doesn't want him to do.
Interesting. Okay.
What is the difference between a rite of passage and a contributor to CPTSD in terms of risk? So CPTSD is not going to be created by you on an 11-year-old boy. It will not happen. It will have already been created on him in his infancy, before he's even three. Okay. And it's going to have to do with either abuse or neglect, or a combination of the two. It's going to have to do with the boy having no safe place as a child, that his mother is not a safe place for him, that his father is not a safe place, that neither of them are safe. That is ultimately what's going to cause him to create a imaginary personality for them, from which he hides the actual pain he is regularly receiving, that will eventually turn into a flashback experience where the pain he has ignored can't be ignored anymore and is projected into other relationships so as to protect the identity of the parents. And, you know, so that's a completely different thing than, hey, son, I mean, the guys are talking about, you know, shoot a deer, you know, which is actually shooting a deer is a great example of, you got to kill something. You got to go sit out there for a long time with the guys and do this. And when you kill that deer, you got to deal with that deer after you kill it too. So there's that. That's not bad. I'm still not sure it breaks the tie with mom that we are suffering in the society. Again, let me come back to the Heber and Kaligi one more time. The thing that is most stopped guys from coming has been mom said no.
Oh.
The problem that we must undo right now is matrilineal subjugation of the males, which refuses to let the male grow up and be a man. If it's too much of a risk for your son to live with some guys under the care of a pastor for a year, then what's he ever going to do?
Mm-hmm. My thought is, as you're talking about different ideas of what a guy could do for his rite of passage, I'm thinking to myself, you know, it really doesn't matter if it's that intense. Like, all he could do is just sleep outside with no blanket in the backyard. You know, that for a lot of people would be intense enough.
And that's where we're creating it. Like, so part of the rite of passage at Hebron is, like, you don't get to use your smartphone all over the place, right, all the time. You don't get to watch movies. You don't get to play video games. You're going to only eat certain things.
Yeah.
Like, there is rite of passage built into every kind of level of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like instantaneous.
And my thinking, though, is, so say we decide that for fides, his rite of passage is he just has to sleep outside. No blanket, no pillow, no anything. No, but just hear me out. Like, it's not necessarily about what he does. It's about then the mother, from what I'm understanding you say, recognizing that once that takes place, the treatment of him
now he's
is
a man.
Different.
Yeah, he's not a boy anymore.
It's not. Yep. So that was kind of what I was trying to get at with, like, you went to Europe. And your mother was scared, and I know she was because of stories she's told me. But it's not about the fact that you went to Europe and she wasn't scared. It's about then, how did she treat you when you came back? It was life as normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You may as well have never gone.
Mm-hmm.
There was no more trust. There was no more respect or recognition of your position in society as a man. Who can make his own decisions and do his own stuff. Like suddenly, no, you are a man in this home. That means you are a protector of each and every person here. Mm. And you are my, my protector.
Mm-hmm.
I can make dinner for you, but like, I should not be making dinner for you all the time.
You're talking about mom right now.
Yeah. No, sorry. Son, I should not be.
No, he should be able to. He should be
making
he should
your
be
bed and
himself.
Cleaning
yeah, right,
your room.
Right.
Like, you're paying rent now, essentially.
Yeah,
if
right.
you're still home,
right.
you pay rent.
Right.
I don't drive you to work. You figure it out yourself now.
Right. Right. Some
you're
level
a man.
Of that. Right. Right.
So
that's the proverb from this week.
So that, I mean, that's kind of what I'm picking up as you're throwing it down. Like, it's not really about how intense of an experience it is. It's about what changes after the experience. And actually, moms, we have a lot of responsibility in that. Our society has stunted our men, our young boys, who then become adolescents and young men. In that it hasn't allowed them to fail. And I think from what you're talking about, Jonathan, with regards to, you said the matriarch.
Matrilineal, which is different than matriarch.
That's right.
Yeah.
The matrilineal control that women have kind of taken. I think that does rest on our shoulders quite a bit. And we do this with our husbands as well. We want things to be just so. And the brain of a man needs failure. And they need it a few times sometimes in the same area before they're going to wisen
bump your head.
To the to the reality of, oh, it doesn't work if I do it that way. Mm-hmm. And women are different. We don't necessarily need to fail four times. Like, once is usually enough, and then we change the way we look at something. But
you don't even necessarily need to fail on your own.
No, we can learn from others or have others advise us. But the beauty of the man is his willingness to try and try again.
Mm-hmm. Chainsaws on the surfboard. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, although the man of is not in the Hebrew. So it's going to be, you know, great wrath will suffer punishment, but then if you rescue, you will have to do it again. And see wrath as, this is really exciting to me, coming out of Colossians 3 for this week, two different words that have to do with wrath and anger, that if you look at them in the Greek, they're not as cleanly, it's not just about anger. One of them, orge, which can be translated as wrath, but the substance of it is an impulsiveness, a vigorous impulsiveness, right? And then thumos, which can be translated as anger, is a self-intensity, right? So it's that I am kind of thing, right? And so to understand anger and wrath in those terms, an impulsive man will suffer punishment. You will have to rescue him again and again. Or someone who is self-intense, they're just all about themselves and what they need, will suffer punishment. The point here being that if you don't let a man take responsibility for himself, then he won't, and you will have to continue doing so. And so if you want to still be mom when he's 60, and have him not having achieved much, then
Let's just not even go there. Like, let's not be mom when he's 60.
Yeah.